First case for argument is Peto versus Gonzalez, Mr. Amir Mokri.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Cyrus Amir Mokri. Pursuant to this court's order, I appear as a friend of the court representing Mr. Fito's interests. Mr. Fito, who is the appellant, is a native of Albania, and he seeks political asylum in the United States. The case is before you on a petition for review of the immigration judge's order of deportation, which was summarily affirmed by the BIA. The basic issue presented for appeal is whether the immigration judge properly applied the BIA standards for analyzing evidence in connection with a political asylum application. Specifically, the issue can be broken down into several components. One of the principal components is whether the immigration judge properly asked for corroborating evidence when there was specific testimony on particular issues.
Did Mr. Fito present any evidence about conditions in the internment camp?
There was testimony by Mr. Fito himself about those conditions. Basically, there was the duration of the internment and the timing, but also he testified that as a child being held in the internment camp, he was forced to into labor, as best I can understand the record, getting up early in the morning to go chop wood and come back. And essentially that's the gist of the evidence that exists. And most of it is, if not all of it, is basically based on Mr. Fito's testimony. And so simply as an example of the immigration judge asking for corroborating evidence, time spent in the labor camp and the conditions associated with the labor camp were specifically one of the things that he asked for. And, you know, as many cases, including cases recently decided in this circuit, indicate, those are the kinds of things for which corroborating evidence, especially the documentary evidence, which is what the immigration judge focused on, is just very difficult to procure.
I don't see any indication that he would be persecuted if he were sent back to Albania.
Well, Judge Posner, I think the evidence there is testimony about after being conscripted into the military, he joined an organization, a political party called Blaui Kombatar. His family had been associated with this party.
Yeah, but the Communist Party is not in power anymore.
Well, the Communist Party may not be technically in power, but the evidence in the record says that elements who ran the government before, many of them have survived into the new regime.
And is that what he meant by saying that the bad guys are still running things without?
Well, that's certainly the inference that would be drawn. I mean, and it's not unusual. It's a very plausible story when there is a change in regime, and this has happened probably in all of Eastern Europe and any country. Where
it's many years now, right? It's many years.
Certainly.
But I don't see where the evidence. I mean, it's not enough just to say that some of the communists may still be in power. There has to be some. Now, we had a case involving Bulgaria where there was considerable evidence that the security apparatus of the communist regime had survived and continued to pursue people who had been on the outs with the communists. But I didn't see anything comparable in this case.
Well, if I may comment at two levels. At a general level, as you know, in fact, in one of the opinions you authored a few months ago, the socialists are now back in power, and the socialists are basically the same party that was in power at or about the time that these events occurred. And second, there is there is an issue. Well, the specific testimony is that, you know, a particular political officer at that time was the person who threatened Mr.
Fito. But in my Albanian case, it wasn't really a political thing. It was that the alien was someone who had information about the corruption of the socialists, and that's what he worried about with some basis. But I just don't see why why Petto is in any particular jeopardy.
Well, if I may, again, 2 points. One is that to the extent that these events deal with events that occurred a long time ago and a lot of time has passed, we're in a difficult situation of trying to project, you know, for example, the continued existence of that commissar or whoever he was who threatened Mr. Fito. Is he still in power? Is he in a position of where he can discover Mr. Fito again? And it's very difficult to judge these things without being able to reopen the evidence. And in this connection, I would also like to
Let me just go back before you make your second point, but that's the problem that anyone in your client's position would face when there's been a lapse of time, not knowing whether the same people are there or not. And there, we have had cases where there's been more evidence, and particularly here when we have the state, the country report, which I know are not, you know, dispositive,
right,
but certainly indicate that rights are generally being respected and there's no evidence of people being detained for political reasons. I mean, when you look at that plus the lapse of time, I think that's a real problem for you.
Well, if I may, again, 2 points, and I don't want to forget the point I wanted to make about the evidence Mr. Fito testified had been given to the attorney, but let me take the country report first. These country reports have to be looked at a general level. It is
right.
True that a country may be a parliamentary regime. I mean, Iran, for example, has parliamentary elections, but no one would necessarily extrapolate from that in specific circumstances there wouldn't be police abuse. And in fact, recent decisions in the circuit have recognized that. And so, you know, the country report can only go so far.
Right.
But with respect to the more specific evidence, it seems to me that in this case, there were a couple of instances where the immigration judge, when he was asking questions of Fito, came to points where, you know, looking for specific documentary evidence or other evidence, asked Fito whether he had such evidence, and he indicated that he had given the evidence to his attorney. Now, on this record, and one of the matters into which the immigration judge was inquiring was this issue of, what is the status of your membership in this party, and also the status of the internment camp. And it seems to me under these circumstances, when the judge was looking for corroborating evidence and potentially evidence that could have given more flesh to the bones here, and I emphasize that the record here might be spare, but it's not vague. That under those circumstances, the judge could have and should have, I submit, asked a few further questions, like, do you have copies of these documents? Is there anything more? Can you provide us with these documents? And that wasn't done on this record. So, Judge Posner, you're right in a sense that there is a dearth of evidence, but we're also, on this record, we're suffering from an instance where there may be more out there, but we just don't know, and there is evidence in the record that suggests that there could have been more, and there would have been a very easy solution to adjourn, or specifically ask on the record for that evidence, but never was done.
And there was no statement by the court that any additional evidence would not be considered, was it? I may have missed that. Where the court precluded counsel from providing the information?
No, not affirmatively precluded, but the hearing ended
at the end of the day.
And there was no...
There
is a struggle between...
Yeah, there was no request for additional time by counsel.
Not by counsel, no.
And the court never precluded it. That's what I'm saying.
That's correct.
I will not take anything else.
No, it didn't. But the court, seeing a conflict, also has a duty to prepare a complete as record as possible in the context of immigration.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Amir Mokri. Ms. Schwartz?
Good morning, Your Honors. Nora Oskali-Schwartz for Respondent Alberto Gonzalez. With all due respect to opposing counsel, who's done a fantastic job on this case, there are some errors of fact he's made. First of all, the immigration judge didn't deny it just on lack of corroborative evidence, which everyone seems to imply. He said there was no, corroborative documentation. He also noted there's an absence of witnesses. Now, allegedly, he and his entire family were interned for 6 years because his uncle came to the United States. That uncle lives in the United States. He did not come to the hearing. He did not provide an affidavit. He lives with his brother. His brother got asylum in the United States. He did not provide an affidavit. He did not come to the hearing.
Why wouldn't 7 years in internment camp be sufficient to establish past persecution? Was there any evidence that would contradict that claim?
Absolutely not, but it was not his... First of all, he hasn't made that claim. Second of all, past persecution, he would have to say...
What do you mean?
Well, he's not claiming he felt that he was persecuted in the past. There's no... He's not making the claim that he's entitled to a rebuttable presumption. So we have to exhaust that. That hasn't been briefed, and it's his burden to raise that. So it hasn't been exhausted. But even if he had been interned in 1976 as a child, there was no... I mean, that is mistreatment. And what he talked about, and again, with all due respect to counsel, he didn't carry wood. He said, my brothers were older, but I was so young, I got to sleep in till 8 or 9. He doesn't complain of any treatment there. Granted, being sent to an internment camp with your parents because your uncle has defected to the United States arguably could be a claim of past persecution, but A, he didn't make it, and B, it was a long time in the past. So what we have here is his claim to well-founded fear of persecution is predicated entirely on, and again, counsel misstates the record, not a threat by the commissar, but it's predicated entirely on the fact that 3 months after he was conscripted into the army, he and some colleagues were having a political discussion, and a superior officer observed them. Now, that presumes that the superior officer knew it was a political discussion, that the side that petitioner was on was opposed to the government, that he would then start proceedings against him in 1991 before all the changes took place. Understandably, petitioner didn't wait around to see if any of this happened. He left the country and he lived in Greece for 5 years. There is no evidence that any charges were ever filed. His family continues to live there. His brother lives there. His parents live there. His father, who was jailed back in 1967 before he was born, continues to live there. Nobody in his family who remains is harmed. When he came to the United States, he said, I'm coming here to look for work. My brother will help me, and I'm hoping to get married and adjust status. That's what he told the officer when he came in. What he's done.
I must say, I have a problem with the argument that this happened so many years ago. In many of these countries, problems occur because of things that happened 200 years ago. They never seem to forget.
Apparently, in this case, they have, Your Honor, because his father, who was jailed under the old regime, there's no evidence that he comes to harm. His mother, who was the person interned, he was an intern because his uncle went. He was interned. His family was, and he went with his parents. They continue to live there. His brother, who was interned with him, continues to live there, and there's no evidence of harm against them. So there is no evidence of a 10-year-old, 20-year-old, or 50-year-old bias against him. And he's not claiming that. Had he claimed it, we would have said conditions in the country have changed, and that rebuts the presumption that he continues to have a fear of persecution. What he is fleeing is the economy, which is what he told the asylum officer when he entered the country on a false passport. And the fact is, after living in Greece for 5 years, he wasn't fleeing Greece. He wasn't fleeing persecution. He was looking, the work situation doesn't look too good. Albanians are being sent back. And so he said, I'll try my way in the United States. He went back to Albania to get a passport. I mean, that makes no sense to me. Yes, he says he snuck in and then he snuck out, but the point is he went back to Albania to get a phony Albanian passport, and then he comes to the United States for the same reason he went to Greece. But he was not at that time fleeing persecution. And he never asked for asylum in Greece. He lived there for 5 years, and then he heard that things were getting bad for Albanians, so he decided to leave. But he wasn't fleeing persecution at the time. Nothing in the state reports say that the party that he had joined 3 months, just when he joined the army, he joined that party that had, you know, caused his family so many problems for so many years. And then he left 3 months later. There is no evidence that he had been targeted, that the commissar took any action against him, that the commissar's any action was taken. And the evidence shows, the State Department report shows, that Albanians are welcome back. They're not being harmed. He deserted. There's no evidence that even deserters are being prosecuted, and that would not be protected. But the immigration judge's decision was predicated on, I'm looking at the factors, there's no corroboration, partly documentary, but also absence of detail, absence of witnesses, and contradictory to the State Department report. So the immigration, and plus, at the time, I think the lack of documentary corroboration is a red herring, because at the time, the Board of Immigration Appeals had de novo review. He could have presented those documents or a declaration saying this was what was missing. And as we said, if he really feels that those documents would have changed the outcome of the case, it was on him, through new counsel or on his own, to present them to the board or to move for ineffective assistance of counsel. That has not been done. This court cannot consider it in the first instance. The immigration judge's decision was based on the evidence of record, which indicates that he said, this man has lived abroad for many, many years. He has no evidence, no corroboration, no witnesses to come in to say he will be persecuted. And in light of the evidence of the record and the situation in Albania, there is nothing that compels the finding that he has a well-founded fear of persecution.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Schwartz.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Mr. Amir Mokri, how much time does he have? 1 minute? Anything further?
I just have a brief comment, and that is really that many of the factual details that counsel recited may or may not be correct, may or may not be supported by the evidence. The real issue in this case is that, like so many cases in the past year that this court has observed, the immigration judge's decision really does not permit the kind of review into the evidence, into the substantial evidence review that counsel would like to propose on this occasion. And because of the sparseness of the court's reasoning, and the court's reasoning being affected by so many of the problems that only last week in a decision, Judge Posner, you noted, such as an absence of credibility findings, an insistence on corroboration where it isn't reasonable to do so, I respectfully submit that this should be vacated and remanded so that an intelligent decision could be.
And am I correct that in this case the government's conceded that there was no express ruling on credibility by the IJ?
I believe so. I mean, I haven't seen any indication that there was an express, and obviously an individual's own testimony, if credible, would be sufficient to sustain an asylum burden. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Armin Berkeley, and thank you for your accepting the amicus assignment. Okay. Next case for argument, United States versus Dietz.